Welcome back to Cookin' Joe. We have Chris Hoke for the whole hour, one of our favorite times of the week. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball, Hokie, and let's talk about Devin Bush first. It seemed like he was getting victimized a little bit on some of those cutback runs earlier, and then there was a lot of talk about him in coverage. What did you think of his game? Was it all on him in coverage on some of those plays? Your analysis.
So let me break that down a little bit. So on some of those runs, Melvin Gordon and the scheme of the Broncos was great for this Steelers defense. The Steelers defense is very aggressive, and they like to attack you. And so they were over-pursuing in this game, and that's where you saw Melvin Gordon taking the ball front side and then cutting back. They were double-teaming Cam Hayward on the backside, letting Bud Dupree run upfield, and then you had Devin Bush that would over-pursue. Right, he would get over the top, and there was a cutback lane, and so they did that a couple times for big chunks of yardage there in the second quarter. I believe that's when it happened. The majority of those runs, the Steelers were able to settle down in this game, but so he was a little more aggressive, but it wasn't just him. It was a lot of the defenders were playing aggressive, and the Broncos did a great job of using that against them. You talk about in the passing game, Joe. Last year, Devin Bush, when he was targeted, the completion percentage was about 66, 67% completion. Right now, it's about 77% completion rate when they're throwing the ball at Devin Bush. Now, every single time is not his fault. Everyone wants to point to that touchdown pass defense. That pass there wasn't his fault. He was playing inside. He had inside leverage. When Fant went to the corner, the corner route there, he was wide open because Terrell Edmonds and Mike Hilton both bit on Freeman on the back coming out of the backfield in the flat. You can't have two guys, two DBs covering a back out of the backfield. I believe what happened in that situation was Terrell Edmonds was supposed to drop off and play on the outside of Fant and have inside leverage with Devin Bush, and there was a mental error there on the defensive backfield of the Steelers.
Chris, I know they blitz a lot. I mean, just all the time, and it sometimes puts their DBs in a tough spot. It seemed to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that Steven Nelson was beaten more in the Giants game than maybe he was all last year, and I didn't think Joe Hayden had a very good game the other day against Denver. Is that a reflection of how often they are blitzing, or is there a reason to be concerned there a little bit?
Well, there's no question that they're blitzing more than any team in the NFL, Cookie. I mean, they're blitzing 57.8% of the time, and they're always getting after the quarterback, and they're coming with more than four linemen. And so that's going to put some strain on your DBs. And you're right. I observed that, and I thought, man, I'm seeing Steve Nelson get beat more in this game, Monday Night Football, than I had seen him last year. It seemed like he buckled down more in this game against the Broncos. He had some tighter coverage. Joe Hayden's been beat a couple times. He got beat again this week. He got beat deep. He also had a pass interference call. He's got to step up a little bit more and play and have tighter coverage. But that's going to happen when you're blitzing and you're trying to get after the quarterback. And these guys are young quarterbacks. They want to rattle these guys and they want to hit them and force them to throw the ball to you, the defensive team. You're going to have guys get beat at times.
So Hokie, it's one thing to have a high risk, get after the quarterback, leave your coverage people on an island approach against young quarterbacks like the Steelers saw in these first couple games. I'm talking about Daniel Jones and Locke primarily in their preparation. Quite another when you have Deshaun Watson and some of the other guys on this schedule. Do you expect them to alter their approach against better, more experienced quarterbacks?
Maybe a little bit because they are who they are. I mean, Coach Butler and Coach Tom, they like the blitz. They like to get after the quarterback. We've always been known as a blitzing defense here in Pittsburgh. So they may slow it down a little bit and not call up or dial up the blitz as much as they have the first 2 weeks because you also have Deshaun Watson who can elude the pass rush and he can make guys miss. And then if you got guys on the island and he's scrambling, he can throw the ball well on the run. You've got to be very, very careful. So I think they'll mix it up a little more this week than they had the first 2 weeks.
Chris, it looks like Cam has just picked up right where he left off. I like the whole defensive line. I think Alu-Alu has made some big plays, only playing about half the snaps. Would you agree?
I totally agree. I think they're playing well. You look at Stephon Tuitt and coming off an injury last year. You didn't mention, but you mentioned, you know, Hayward and Alu-Alu. I mean, you look at Tuitt. He has 12 pressures on the quarterback this year, playing solid in the run. Cam Hayward is just a monster. And what he's doing, he's opening up opportunities, Cookie, for everybody else. But you're right. Alu-Alu, man, you watch him play in the middle, and he is playing stout. He's flowing well in the run game. Last week he had tackles for a loss again. He had four TFLs on the season. And he's just he's a beast right now in the middle of that defense. He's benefiting a lot in the passing game, too, with T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree getting so much pressure on quarterbacks from the side. The quarterbacks are having to step up, and that's when Alu-Alu is able to get some pressure on the quarterback, get his sacks, get some hits. But that front is one of the better fronts in the NFL.
Let's talk about Tuitt a little more, Chris, because I've hardly heard his name, and at the same time I've come around on pass rush analysis, for one thing, that sacks aren't the be-all, end-all. Pressures can sometimes be as good or better because they might lead to a turnover. So you're telling me he has a bunch of pressures and he's playing well against the run. So it sounds like you believe that Tuitt, even though he hasn't made a lot of plays, splash plays, is playing well.
He is playing well. I mean, last year we were accustomed to watching before he got hurt. He was, I thought at that point, that the defensive MVP of the Steelers defense. And he gets hurt and he comes back and he's not making the loud plays right now. We had that sack last week. But he is consistently playing solid, good, solid defense, playing stout in the run, maybe not making that big TFL that you're used to seeing him. In the passing game, he's getting in and hitting the quarterback or pressuring the quarterback. I mean, he's playing consistent ball, not all pro level ball, but he's playing really, really well.
Chris, I think we got to take a break here momentarily. When we do come back, a couple things I want to ask you, too, about T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, especially Dupree. I mean, how can a guy play 4 years and be very unimpressive and then obviously just turn it on and take off? He looks like he's unblockable out there and so quick, so fast. I just want to ask you about that when we come back, Hokie.
Absolutely.
Ron, your clock management today is better than Joe Namath at Alabama. This is unbelievable how you're managing. Cookie's using all our timeouts here, Chris. It's incredible.
Hey, he's better than most of the coaches in the NFL when it comes to clock management.
Boy, you got certainly that right, Chris.
Certainly Vic Fangio. I'll give him that.
That's for sure.
All right, that's next on Cook and Joe.